It's always a good day in the house of the Lord when we're singing the goodness of God, isn't it? Yes. My goodness. I want to thank Pastor Tony and the elders for giving me the opportunity to speak this morning. I am so privileged, and I have this this word that I feel like God put on my heart, and I hope it blesses you as much as it blessed me preparing it. The word of God is double-edged, right? And so it's really powerful, and I believe God wants to speak to us this morning. We're going to start with a scripture, Romans 12, 1-2. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I love that verse one. You know, as a worship leader, it's like, yeah, this is worship. This is the act of worship right here. But I'm not going to preach on verse one. I'm actually going to focus on verse two this morning. I want to go over kind of what it means first and just kind of look at what it says. So do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah, and what that's talking about a little bit, just to give you an idea, is this change that's supposed to happen. The same change that we were singing about earlier, that's supposed to happen when we're born again. There's a change in our life. There's a change that happens. It's a metamorphosis. It's an actual change, like a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. It's an actual change. You are a new creation. The old has passed. Amen? Amen. That's what's supposed to happen. And so Peter actually puts it this way. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. So in other words, Peter is saying, don't go back. Don't revert back to what you've been changed from. Right? You have been set apart as holy. Because when the blood of Jesus is on us, on our hearts, and protecting us by his grace, we are different. We are new. And that's the transformation that is happening. Amen? And so we keep going in that verse 2, back in Romans 12. It says, we want to renew our mind. Right? It says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. All right, so just a little bit of a recap on this verse. So far, we've got a transformation that's supposed to happen. What's supposed to happen? Transformation, right? How is it supposed to happen? By the renewing of your mind. Why is it supposed to happen? To discern what is the will of God, right? There's simple questions answered in the scripture. And what is the will of God? What is good, acceptable, and perfect. The whole scripture tied into a bow. I can close in prayer and we can have lunch, right? Except when I was studying this, I was looking at the how, which is by renewing your mind, and I was thinking, what does that mean? It's not common, it's like, hey, what are you doing today? I'm gonna renew my mind. What are you gonna do? You have a button on the back of your head? Is there a reset button? What do you do? And so I'm studying this, and I'm praying, and I'm asking God, show me, how am I supposed to do this? And he brought me to a story that is familiar to many of us who've grown up in churches. And it's actually the same argument that Paul uses in the book of Romans. He talks about Abraham all the time in multiple letters. And so I want to go through a journey with you on the story of Abraham and how he renewed his mind throughout the relationship that he had with God. And so we're going to start, and I believe that there are four stages that God's going to show us how to renew our mind. We're going to start in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4. And this is the call that God gives to Abram. At this time, his name has not changed yet, so he is Abram. I don't want to confuse anyone. It says, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. 75 years old. God says, hey, Abram, come with me. And Abram says, okay, sure, I'll come. Where are we going? Just follow me. I'll show you where we get there. Okay. Is it a lunatic? What's going on here? And this is the faith that the Bible talks about so many places in Hebrews, and Paul talks about it all the time, even in the book of Romans. He's talking about the faith of Abraham. This is his faith, that when God calls him to do something, he said, okay. He didn't know God beforehand. He was an idol worshiper. His father's ways were idols. And so he's already looking at it, and already his mind is being renewed, first of all, by his faith. Amen? So his faith comes into play here and changes the way that he is. Because if you look at those scriptures that we saw earlier about not conforming to the world, he's being set apart from what his context was, which was his father's house where there were idols. And so God's saying, I want you to be different. And I want you to do it by having a relationship with me. Would you have a relationship with me? Come with me. I'm going to make you your name great. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. In fact, I'm going to bless all the peoples on the earth through you. Would you come with me? And Abram says, okay, yeah, I've got faith like that. I'll follow you. And that's the relationship, that's the friendship that we talk about sometimes in the Bible when we talk about Abraham and God. It's such a close and intimate relationship, such a close friendship. You see, there's a verse that we say sometimes in service because it baffles me. And it's actually found in Joshua. It's chapter 21, verse 45. It says, not one of all of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. And some versions say, not one word. I love that. Not one word failed, because that's how faithful God is. But that's in the book of Joshua. There are five other books. There are five books between there and Genesis. Yet in Abram, in Genesis 12, is already saying, yeah, I believe that that's going to happen. Do you see that? There's a 400-year gap in between the fulfillment of it, where he says every single one of these promises happen. 400-year gap, yet Abram's got the faith to say, okay, I believe that's going to happen. Let's go for it, right? Isn't that amazing? That's faith, the first way of renewing your mind, faith. All right, the second way, we're going to go on a little bit further in the journey with Abram. At this point, he is Abraham, and this is Genesis 17, verses 9 to 10. It says, then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. I will not preach a sermon on circumcision this morning, I promise. But the point here is that God is asking Abraham at this point to do something, right? And we've heard already in the sermon that Pastor Tony had preached a few weeks ago that Abraham actually entered into this covenant where God entered as the weaker party, entering, going through the animals, his presence going through the animals. So this is not something like, I need you to do this because I'm more powerful or bigger or anything like that. No, this is just, this is the covenant. This is our covenant, and this is the sign. And so I need you to do this. And Abraham's response happens in verses 23 to 24 of that same chapter. It says, on that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money every male in his household and circumcised them as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised. 99 years old, God asks him to do something. Abraham obeys immediately. The second way that we renew our mind is through obedience. Obeying the will of God. I love that you were up here this morning talking about the Gideon Society. It's so special to me. My grandparents were Gideons, and I grew up with New Testaments everywhere around us. We'd pass them out. There'd be different colors and different purposes and different things and multiple languages. I know the society, and it's such a powerful thing. 2 billion Bibles passed out. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. The Word of God being distributed throughout the nations. Wow, it is so amazing. We don't value our Bibles the way that some cultures do we? No. No, we don't treat them the same way sometimes. But we really don't have any excuses in America. We have access to so much. Even if you don't have a digital, a printed Bible, you know, we have access to it on our phone sometimes, and sometimes they'll even read it for us, so we don't even have to read it. And you know, depending on different things, there's apps in YouVersion, and I know of Dwell, that's one that I use. I didn't even know there was a Gideon app with 1,000 languages in it? 1,000 languages. It's amazing. The access that we have to the Bible, we have no excuse to not be in the Word on a regular basis. Amen, church? Amen. Yeah. You know, and I want to encourage you, if this is not part of your daily discipline, your daily lifestyle to read the Bible, I want to encourage you to start. There's nothing more precious than reading the Word of God and hearing the Word of God with your ears. It is an amazing thing, and it will change and transform your life. And it is the only way that you can obey God, because you can't know the will of God if you don't hear the Word of God. Amen? And so I want to encourage you, even if you start with just one chapter a day every night, or, you know, it's about 15 to 20 minutes if you want to go through the Bible in a year. It's 15 to 20 minutes a day. And so it sounds like it's a lot to do it in a year, but it's not a lot of investment. We spend so much time doing other things, right? That we can take a little bit of time and spend with God and really say, hey, God, I want to devote this time for you. Amen? Yeah. And so that's the second way that Abraham renewed his mind. And he didn't have the Bible, obviously, but God actually spoke to him. He came and visited him, and he would have messengers that would actually talk to him. And there are multiple scenarios in the story where God is literally just talking to Abraham, and that's an amazing thing. We have the Word of God. We have the words of Jesus. He didn't have that. We are blessed. Amen? First way, through faith. Second way, through obedience, following His will. The third way that we can renew our mind is found in Genesis 22, and this one's a little bit of a long narrative, so bear with me. But starting at verse 1, it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him 2 of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is so said, "On the mountain, the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." The third one is sacrifice. And I know that's a little bit of a difficult word, and in this situation, it was everything. It didn't just represent his son that he was sacrificing, but it was his promised son, right? And because of that, it also meant he was sacrificing the son of his promise, the descendants, all of the blessings that were going to happen, the blessings to all the nations, everything was being sacrificed by Abraham. And I believe that he had made the decision as soon as God told him, because he had learned obedience beforehand. As soon as God told him, "I need you to sacrifice Isaac to me," he made that decision right then and there. Okay, I'm going to follow through with this. And I don't believe that he doubted that God's word wouldn't come to pass. Because in Hebrews, it says, in Hebrews 11:19, it says, "He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead." See, he was already thinking, not, "Is God going to pull this off?" He's thinking, "How are you going to do this, God? Because you're in a kind of a pickle now. You've placed yourself in a situation where it's going to be really hard for you to come through here. What are you doing, you know?" And that's what's going on. He's just going through it thinking, "All right, God, this is on you." That is living sacrifice. And so going back to Romans 12, verse 1, that's what he says. We offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, God. So what does that look like? Because we're not sacrificing anyone. We're not sacrificing people, right? We don't do that. That was a big point of that story, is that while other religions and cultures might do that, we don't do that. We believe that life is precious, right? And so what does he do instead? Well, we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. And so may I offer a way of how this might look. And this is not necessarily how it will look for everyone. But I'm thinking in the morning when you wake up and you offer yourself to God, you might say something like, "God, here are my hands. Will you use them for your glory today? Will you help me to grasp what you want me to grasp, but hold on to what you want me to hold on to? Will you guide my hands so that I lay hands on the people you want me to lay hands on this day? They're yours. I offer them to you. I offer my feet to you, God. God, would you guide my steps everywhere I go today, that they would be steps that are guided by you, that I would only go where you take me and find the people that you want me to talk to and do the things that you want me to do. God, will you take my eyes? I offer my eyes to you, God. God, I want to see people. I want to see things like you see them. I want to see people like you see people. I want to see that person who feels forgotten because everyone keeps overlooking them. Will you show me that person, because you don't overlook anyone? Will you also guard my eyes from things that I shouldn't be seeing? Will you protect me? I offer them as a living sacrifice for you. Will you protect my ears? I don't want to hear the things, the negativity, the gossip, the things that might put poison into my mind. Would you protect my ears? God, would you tune my ears to your spirit so that I can hear your voice better? I offer my ears to you. I offer my tongue to you, God. God, would you protect my tongue? Would you help me tame my tongue, be disciplined with my tongue so that I'm only speaking life and not death. I build people up without tearing anyone down. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. God, use me in this way. Hallelujah. The third way that we renew our mind is through sacrifice. So we have faith, obedience to the will of God, sacrifice. And the last one, I believe, is a word from the Holy Spirit. And I want to show you what I believe to be where Abraham actually received the word from the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't say it in the Bible, which is kind of the point. But I want to show it to you. And so this is one of those things that you kind of have to find in the Bible. So what did Abraham say God would provide? Anyone? Anyone remember? This is verse 8. Is it a lamb? God would provide a lamb. What did God provide? A ram. Right? Not a lamb. Why did he tell Isaac that God would provide a lamb? I believe that he was speaking prophetically. Amen? I believe he was hearing from the Holy Spirit in that moment, bringing comfort to Isaac, who's confused at this moment, going, what's going on? And Abraham is saying, it's okay, son. God's going to provide the lamb. I don't know how the conversation ended up at the top of the mountain. It doesn't say it on here. It'd be kind of fun to know about it, but for whatever reason, we don't know about that, and that's okay. But either way, he still follows through with it, and all of a sudden, God shows up with a ram. Why not a lamb? If you're going to tell the guy he's providing a lamb, why is there not a ram? Well, there's a couple things I want to show you first. I want to remind you, and this is the promise that Isaac was going to be the son of the promise, that Abraham was still going to be the father of nations, and that all peoples would be blessed through him. It was repeated at least, biblically, I found it in 7 different places. And in one of those scenarios, God actually told him 3 times. But this is a span of probably around 40 years. That's from when Abraham is 75 years old all the way to when Isaac is around his teen years. It's a span of 40 years. That's 40 years of God repeating a promise and Abraham going, really? You sure? This is still happening, right? Because now I'm 99 and there's still no kid. Okay, now I have a kid and you want me to sacrifice it. Is this still on? Yeah. Yeah, my word is true. It's settled in heaven. It is good. My words are yes and amen. My promises are true. You can bank on it. I am faithful. That's God's response. Amen. Amen. 7 different times. At one point, God actually asked him a question. He said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Pete, is anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing. Amen. Yeah. Lord has a sense of humor sometimes, asking rhetorical questions. 7 times in the course of 40 years, he's reminding him over and over and over again, you are going to be a father of many nations. All the peoples on the earth will be blessed. And so God provides a ram, and they burn the sacrifice. And it saves Isaac's life in a way, right? And so his son is saved by the ram. But that wasn't the end of the promise. The rest of it is all peoples on the earth would be blessed, right? And that's where the lamb comes into play. Amen. He provided a lamb through that lineage, and that is Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here, right? He provided that lamb and fulfilled that word. And I don't know if Abraham knew that at this point. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. God's word is true and faithful from generation to generation to generation. And I believe that when God spoke to him through the Holy Spirit and told him that God would provide a lamb, that he was doing something and showing us a discipline that God wants us to practice, which is to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in our life. And the way that we do that is by being anchored in the Word like he was. Over and over and over again, God repeated himself. Here is the promise. Here is the promise. Here is the promise. Stay true. Here is the promise. It's going to come to pass. Thus, the faith of Abraham, after 40 years, he can continue and say, no, this has been promised to me. I know that it's still going to happen. And so when the word of the Lord comes in, it matches up with what he's already heard. Amen? And so that's the utterance. There's a scripture in Romans 10:17. It says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Because everything points to Christ. And you learn anything in Sunday school, the answer to everything is Jesus. Amen? Everything. And so the message is heard through the word about Christ. And that word, word, not to be confusing, the word that says word, it's not logos. That's the more popular word that we see in the New Testament a lot of times. That's the word that is the word of God, the Bible, right? The written word. And that's the word that's in John 1 when it says, in the beginning was the logos, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, the word was God. And the word became flesh and became Jesus Christ. He is the logos, amen? But that's not what it says here. It says the utterance. The word is rhema. It's an utterance. It's a spoken word. Specifically spoken as opposed to written. Well, why is that important? Because that's what happened to Abraham in this situation. There's no conversation where a messenger comes to Abraham in this situation and says, no, we're good. Promise is still on. No, he just knew God would provide a lamb. He knew in his spirit, and it matched up with the word. This is something that I've actually experienced in my life. In the past couple years, some of you know I've gone through some difficult times in my family, and my kids are right now, they're in kid zone, and they're here. But there are some dynamics within our family even that had to change within a year. So a year ago, I think it was about a year ago, God had me read Daniel 10, day after day after day after day. It was the most annoying thing I've ever done in my life. I read it the first time and I thought, wow, this is really cool. There's like a story of Daniel praying, and then the messenger comes and says, hey, I was actually sent to you right away, immediately, but the message only came 21 days late because there was like this demonic force that was stopping the message from coming in, and so, but the word was already there, and here's the word, you're a man greatly loved, and you're going to do great things, and it's going to be amazing, and blah, 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 and I'm like, okay, that's cool. And day two, read Daniel 10. Oh, okay, all right, I'll read Daniel 10 again. I'm like, what? And then day three, I'm like, I'm done with this. I'm going to read Daniel 11 now. I'm going to keep going, find out what's going on, you know? Okay, good job. Now go read Daniel 10. All right, I'll go read Daniel 10. So then the next day, I think, you know, I'm smarter than God, so I'm going to go the other way and get context. That way I can understand more. So I go to Daniel 9. It's good. Now read Daniel 10. And so I got the hint, and I kept reading Daniel 10 for about a month. Every day I read Daniel 10, and after about a month, I felt released. That it was just, the feeling was gone, and I just kept reading something else, and that was it, and never heard anything from it again. I thought, all right, this is the weirdest thing in the world. It wasn't until I was visiting a couple, and as I was leaving their house, the lady said, just remember, you're a man greatly loved. What? No one talks like that. No one says that. That's not coincidence. That's the Holy Spirit trying to get at me because apparently I'm way too stubborn to read it in the Bible and realize that God is trying to tell me that he loves me. No, he had to use someone else and use the Holy Spirit to speak through someone to get into my heart. But why did I know that it was God? because I was anchored in the Word. I had used repetition to understand that God is trying to get at me. He's trying to tell me something. He's trying to show me something. Amen? And it turns into this thing where it's like, oh my goodness, there is nothing for me in this chapter whatsoever to my whole life just changed. Because that's what happens when the Holy Spirit speaks. Everything changes. And so I use that same scenario, and I don't know what it might look like for you, because I don't want to tell you to read Daniel 10 for a month, because pretty much guaranteed it's not going to be the same thing. But be open to what the Holy Spirit asks you to do. Be open to being in the Word and then hearing what the Holy Spirit tells you from there. For my kids, I needed to remind them and tell them and show them that I love them. And that was hard. I did it through a song. And Al sang it earlier. It's I Am Loved. And I told them, this is how God feels about us. But this is also how I feel about you. There's no disappointment in my eyes. There's no shame. There's only pride. You're loved. You're loved by me. There's no distance in our embrace. Over and over again, I'll say it. And now it's almost become a joke, especially for my five-year-old, because he'll say, oh, again, we'll do this song because you have to tell us that you love us and that God loves us. And he loves it. Of course he does. Why? Because I'm renewing his mind through the Word of God. And then I'm also speaking into him through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. And so there's a passage in Ephesians 5, verses 25 to 26. And husbands, you can take notes. We already know it really well already because it's really a commandment for us. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church, right? It's that one. Gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word. And I want to offer a suggestion that we look at the relationship that not only is this, yes, this is good and true for husbands, but if we look at what the analogy that Paul is trying to make in this scripture, he is saying this is how Christ treats the church, right? And I want to suggest that this is how we should treat each other. We should treat our children this way, or the people that we're discipling, or whatever our relationships are. We should try to speak life into each other, and we should try to hear from the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say into this relationship and speak into this relationship? In fact, this scripture, where it says cleansing by the washing with water through the Word, anyone want to guess what that word is? Rhema. It's an utterance. It's not saying beat them over with a Bible. It's speak revelation based on the Bible. Speak revelation to each other. Speak life to each other. The Holy Spirit is active and present and wants to change us, wants to speak to us. He is seeking relationships, the same thing he was looking for with Abraham. He wants intimacy with us. He wants to sacrifice himself for us. In fact, he did the ultimate sacrifice, thus his love for us. And he wants to cleanse us with his words. Amen? And the way that we discern that is that it must always point back to the Logos. If it contradicts Scripture, it is not from God. And that is just pure and simple, the easiest way to do that. If it backs up Scripture, yeah, it's probably God speaking to you. But if you're hearing a voice that's saying, no, don't forgive that person. They don't deserve that. They deserve that you give them exactly what they gave you. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's our flesh, right? And if we remember the beginning of Romans 12, the very first word, it says, therefore. And I had a pastor growing up who said, and when you see a therefore, you got to see what it's there for, right? Right. And the therefore is from Romans 1 all the way to 11 when Paul makes this beautiful case for this beautiful case exactly for that. That it's by faith that we are saved. by grace, not by works, right? There's none of that there. And so that is the cleansing that God is trying to do within our lives, and that is what he's trying to do within renewing our minds. Amen? And so four ways that I believe that Abraham has shown us, and through the scripture is confirmed, four ways that God wants us to renew our minds by faith, by obeying his will, being in the word so that we know it what it is, right? Sacrifice, sacrificing ourselves is a living sacrifice. And fourthly, by his word, he still wants to speak to us. And he is alive and well and active. Amen? Amen. Let me pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you are still speaking to us and speaking into our lives, into our hearts, into our souls, and into our spirits, God. God, we pray that this word would not be void, but it would bear much fruit, God. God, we pray that we would hear your voice, God. God, we pray that you would build our faith up. That we would be able to, that we would be able to have the same faith that Abram had, knowing that your promises are good and true and will come to pass. God, we pray that you would help us to obey you and to know what your will is, your good and your perfect will. We pray, God, that you would help us to sacrifice ourselves the same way and the same example that you sacrificed yourself for us, first and foremost, when we did not deserve it. And we ask that you would continue to speak into our lives, God, based off of the scripture that we know and that we are learning, that you would continue to speak a fresh word into us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, will you stand with me? We're going to...